Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Dig your cleats in. Get your peanuts, Cracker Jacks, and IPAs ready. This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
The pitch from Acevedo.
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Shut up.
And Rutschman will hit a fly ball here. Deep center field, and so long. Adley Rutschman with a moonshot to center field.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher. This is the Hot Corner on the Odyssey app and 1080. The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for a must be a. Did you like that?
Tuesday?
I already screwed that up. I promised I wouldn't do that.
Were you about to throw out the Wednesday there?
Without a doubt.
Hey, you know, old habits die hard, all right?
Without a doubt. Hi, happy Tuesday.
Sup? You could just save yourself and say, hey, it's Wednesday Eve. I throw that on the end.
Thrust day.
I personally think that you should just keep saying it to throw people off. So when they're listening to the show, they're like, wait, hold on. What day is it? Then they look at their calendar, and then they realize it's still Tuesday, and then they just get even more pissed.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That really threw me off. I started a new job, and so today is my Friday.
Congratulations.
And I don't know where my headphones or microphone condom are.
I don't know what to do with my hands right now.
So I am just an absolute hot mess.
You're
right
a
now.
Mess. Yeah, this is one of the few times I've seen you without the old Apple ear pods with the wire in them. You probably had those the entire length of this show's
I think so.
History.
I think so. I keep I make a list every year of like what I want for Christmas and my birthday, and I've got new headphones on that list, and I have not deleted them. Let's put it that way.
You have new headphones on your Christmas list?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't believe that.
Well, this is why I don't love gifts, because they tell me, can you make me a list? And then I make a list, and they're like, well, that's kind of boring. I don't want to get you that.
New
clothes hangers.
And
it's like, do you know that if you get me this on my list, I will be so ecstatic? Oh, but you aren't ecstatic enough to give me that.
Doesn't matter, as long as you use it. It's kind of the point, right? How about a new leather braided belt?
Yeah, like, here's a wallet. Here's a new wallet. Do you know that I haven't used a wallet in about 10 years?
How many wallets you guys got in the back of the drawer?
Living ballsy.
I just donate them.
Living ballsy there, my friend.
No, dude, it's right here on my phone.
Ah, you roll what? I mean, you do have the phone on you.
Yeah. People are like, well, what happens if you lose your phone? It's like, well, I don't lose my phone.
Well, you lost your headphones.
I think they're at home.
I think. Keyword there.
I know. I almost went.
You better pray.
I almost went and looked in the back of the car, like in the trunk of my wonderful Vancouver Ford purchased Bronco Sport.
Oh, God. Here he goes again with the endorsement plug here. They're not going to give you another one, okay?
hey, they might.
But I was like, oh, maybe it's in the back. No, it's not. So I didn't even look. I hope it's back there. And it was like, shame on me.
Well, back in the working world, we'll get you all flustered like that, my friend.
Dude, I am an absolute hot mess.
Good. Good.
It is nice to work again, though.
I'm sure. I'm sure it is. It's definitely a level of anxiety that sucks when you're not working.
Well, my wife really likes it.
I'm sure.
She's really happy.
I'm sure. Yeah. Actually, you know, I won't say it on air, but little birdie told me that we might be doing a little something-something at your work here in the next couple of months.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, not related, maybe related to this station? I don't know. But,
all right. Yeah. Well, do it on Wednesday or Thursday where I don't work. That would be rad.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it will probably be one of those days. So
yeah.
We'll be working your ass off.
All right.
You'll be getting those tips.
I'll
give you a tip.
Slap right in the face.
I don't even make tips. So like.
No, you get everybody's tip.
Oh yeah. Okay.
That's what it is, right?
Oh yeah. Just the tip.
All the tips.
All the tips. All
you
the
split
tips.
The tips? No. I wasn't trying to be as dirty. But.
I'm in the upper level, man. I get paid the same.
That's
no
why I
matter
say,
what
he gets all the tips. He just collects all of them. He says, "You give that to me. You give that to me. That's mine. That's mine."
What have we done here? I don't even have my glasses on either.
No, last week
I got these over-the-ear headphones that are like massively echoing.
You look better than last week. I will say. I mean, you didn't have a hat. You didn't have your glasses. You had like a button-up shirt.
Let me tell you about last week.
It was so bad they took the video off YouTube.
I got back. I got home last week, and I walked in the door, and I was like, "Man, I don't." Turned to my wife. I was like, "God, I don't feel very good." She was like, "Well, do you have too much beer today?"
Oh, dude.
And I was like, "No, I was actually a good boy."
Right after the show, you went home and you're like, "Oh, I don't feel good."
Yeah, at 10:45, I threw up.
Yeah, and then you
and
text
then again
me.
At 12:30, 2:30, 4:00, and 6:15.
Yeah, and then I text you, or you text me the next day saying like, "Hey, I'm sick. Just a heads up." And I believe my response was, "Are you peeing out your butt?"
And I said, "Not yet, but it's coming."
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I was in bed all day Wednesday.
Well, luckily for me, I did not have to do any of that. I avoided your sickness, so I hope it was something that you ate.
I sat at the dinner table.
Selfishly.
I sat at the dinner table with the kids, and the question was, if you had a genie, you get three wishes, normal genie rules, what are your wishes? And I was like, "Well, I wish I didn't feel so bad. Also, the earth is dying, so I really hope we can fix that." And yeah,
mix in with some of those.
I hope I can eat this dinner. Fast forward a few days later, and we took the kids out. And we're on a little hike, and our two girls, who are 11 and 9, our 9-year-old looks at the 11-year-old and goes, "Can you believe it? Isn't it crazy that the world's dying?" And the 11-year-old's like, "I know, right? We're going to have to do something to try to save this."
What did you do?
I was talking about climate change and like global warming and stuff like that. And just these fun little wide-eyed kids are
just
like,
crush their earth.
No, they weren't crushed. They were just like, "What are we going to do about this?"
No, you created like two Greta Thunbergs.
Like, what are we going to do with this?
Young
like,
activists.
I can't believe the world's going to die. Look at it. We're on this hike. It's so beautiful. Indoctrination is what I call it.
Well, they sound like adult stoners. Like, look at it. It's so beautiful. I can't believe the world's going to die. But then it's so cute when it comes out of the word, like the ears of 10-year-olds. Like, oh, okay, I that makes sense.
Hey, sounds like I'm doing my job. Watch. They'll
it's
vote for
over!
RFK.
That's what they're saying about the earth.
Before I know it, they'll be like voting for RFK, and then I'm like super hosed.
Hey, if Aaron Rodgers is on the ticket, bro.
All right. Well, before we get into stuff, we do got to clean up some business here and do kind of dive into this. We've talked about it as a station on a whole over the last week or so, as this show has had its first opportunity to kind of chat about it. We're going to talk about Mike Lynch here for a moment. Mike Lynch is one of my nearest and dearest friends. Mike is one of the most amazing people you've ever met. When I first got hired here at the station, they said, "You're going to do a baseball show." And I was like, oh, that sounds fun. And we're going to put
whether
you,
you like it or not.
We're going to put you with Mike Lynch. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, does Mike Lynch like baseball? And the answer wasn't just yes. The answer was, does Mike like baseball? Yeah. But Mike and I grew. We became very good friends. We did this show for a very long time together. We had a very successful podcast, the Beers on Us podcast. Shout out to all those listeners. Mike is the witness on my side on my marriage certificate. Mike is a very, very
dear... See, I did not know that. I know he was in attendance, but I might have heard that at one point, but I completely forgot. But how about that?
My wife and I tried to take the advantage of having a wedding, and you have your, like, wedding party, your groomsmen and your bridesmaids and stuff like that. And we knew that there was a lot of people that meant a lot to us that couldn't fit into every category. So we tried to find people that could...
Different roles to fill.
Yeah, be a part of our special day and do special things. And I chose Mike to be my witness. His signature is on my wedding certificate. Mike is battling ALS. ALS is one of the nastier things out there simply because we don't really know why it exists. We don't know why it happens, and we don't know how to fix it. So Mike is out there. We've got a GoFundMe that you can find all over our Twitter accounts and stuff like that. I am not on that, so I'm sorry I can't give it to you. But I'm happy to mention that they had a goal of raising $15,000, and they are almost at $42,000. So that is a huge thank you to you fan listeners, you supporters in the city of Portland rallying together to help Mike with it, with just an impossible task. And I sit here and ask for your support and your help, whether it's monetary or just emotional. I text Mike, I think it was Black Friday. I got this great story. I was out shopping. We were doing some shopping, some Christmas shopping, me and the wife. And we went to this cool, the Paper Source over on 23rd, not far from the station here. Great little place to for like some Christmas shopping. It was really buzzing. And they, of course, they had the token small Jewish stand over there in the corner. Because it was all Christmas stuff. And I saw these little cocktail napkins. And it
Orange
had a,
Julius?
And it had a menorah on it, and it said, "Let's get lit." And so I took a picture, and I sent it to Mike, and I was like, "I love you. I miss you. Let's grab a beer." And that's when Mike kind of told me what was going on. So I've known for a little bit. And it's just strange how the world works in mysterious ways. If I could trade places with Mike right now, I would. Mike is 10 times the human I am. And so we sit here and we reach out to you guys to help him out. He's got a long battle ahead of him, but if there's anybody that I know that can do it, it's got to be Mike. I did tell him that I did text him and say, "See, I told you Lou Gehrig was the greatest Yankee of all time." Yeah. I think he laughed, but then I told him I'd buy him a jersey.
Get him a Lou Gehrig jersey.
Yeah, get him the number 4 and Mike, that's your new favorite Yankee. I also think he might be the greatest player of all time. So,
well, I watched a ton of Lou Gehrig in my younger years. I can tell you about all of the games that, and all the time I watched him. Yeah, I mean, me and Rashad.
You're no different than me, Joe.
Rashad and I, we talked about it on Sunday. I just retweeted on the 1080 The Fan Twitter X account, whatever you want to call it. Mike's tweet from Friday where he talks about what's going on and has a link to his GoFundMe page. Dude, it's just, it's unreal. It's hard to wrap your head around. I think I said that to Rashad the other day. And, you know, this was the first show that I got put on. I was put on Sports Sunday in 2020. I've been with you and Mike on this show since 2015. Just green, fresh out of college, not knowing what the hell I was doing. And you and Mike welcomed me with open arms. And being here Wednesday nights with you guys and seeing Mike's knowledge of the game, as I mentioned on Sunday, one of the best voices that we've had on 1080 The Fan, just that booming
voice. He looks really hot.
He is really hot. I will agree with that. And quite the metal singer as well.
Yeah!
And also this is actually timing with March Madness.
Unshining moment.
But I mean, Mike off air was just, he's always been the nicest guy. I mentioned on Sunday as well, is that like whenever I brought Joey into the studio, he would talk to him as if he was a normal human being rather than just like a child. And then they would usually talk about soccer, and I was the odd man left out of those conversations. So our Yankee Oriole AL East conversations, our Big East conversations with him being a Syracuse grad and me being a Pitt fan. I mean, just pleasure working with him all these years with him and just seeing him go through this just absolutely sucks. Hearing from it from you and Rashad, you guys obviously having that straightaway contact with him and kind of getting the lowdown over the last few months has just been terrible to hear. And hopefully that this fundraising effort that has begun is it's not going to stop anytime soon and that we just keep it going. Again, is GoFundMe. It's been retweeted out by me, 1080 The Fan, Isaac, Souk, I mean, whoever else on the station. I know a ton of other people in the community, whether they're in the broadcast community or not, have posted it to their social media pages. And I think we've got some things kind of in the works as far as trying to raise some more funds for him, because this is, I can imagine that it's just not a not a financially fun battle to fight either.
No.
So, Mike, love you. Hopefully we can see you sometime soon. And we're praying for you, thinking of you. And just thank you for everything that you've done, just not for me personally, but for this show. Because, again, your baseball knowledge and what you brought to this program is instrumental. And it would not be continuing on today if it was not for you. So, love
yeah,
you,
and
thank
and,
you.
And Mike's got great support around him. Ashley is wonderful. His parents are wonderful. You know, Mike had the Blazer community right behind him as well. 100%. I know he worked for a rival station,
dude,
and that's kind of why Beers on Us kind of went kaput, because I couldn't do it with Mike. And if I couldn't do it with Mike,
it's very true.
I didn't want to do it with anybody else, because, you know, we like presented categories at OBAs, and, you know, Mike's met every brewmaster in this town. And yeah.
I don't know if you saw this too. Got a donation from the one and only Iron Eagle.
Really?
500 bones, Iron Eagle.
Come on, Iron. You got more money.
I know.
Than that.
Iron, if you're listening, cough up the cash.
How much do you want him to donate?
Yeah. So keep that in your brain. Keep going with it. Mike is a wonderful human being, and this is kind of how the world works, unfortunately, is sometimes the best of us go through the worst of us. Oakley Doakley. Well, in Mike's honor today, we're going to keep pressing on. We got a baseball show to get to. There's a lot to get into today. Does this team suck? Does this other team suck? And have they built the foundation to potentially be one of the worst ownerships in baseball? We've got moves. There's trades that's gone down, but we've also got physical locations being moved. Also, elbows hurt, and that's where we're going to start. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
721 Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge.
Yeah.
Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326. All texts to the fan or via the Vancouver 4 text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com.
Quick note, I went to the Pickles Bar.
And how was it?
I love the decor.
I mean, the stairs is awesome.
The vibes,
the
man.
Stairs are so great.
The vibes.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
If you go there, the stairs starts with, you know, I consider myself a man of faith. And, you know, I've made a mistake. And then there's a deep drive into left field by Castellanos. It's going to be a home run. That's what it says on the steps going to their upstairs. That's brilliant.
Yes, it is fantastic.
That's brilliant.
They have some great hats. They have a hat vending machine in there.
Really?
So you can, like, buy hats in their vending machine. Not crazy about the price. What is it, like 50? 44,
yeah,
I think.
Dude,
it was
hats?
Like for one of those, like,
are they New Era hats?
I don't know, but it was a really cool,
that's
like
New Era hat price.
It was, yeah, a really cool, like, corduroy felt material. Ooh. With like a cool little Portland Pickles font on it. And I liked it, but my wallet did not, so no Portland Pickles hat just yet.
Now, can we tell people about this?
I mean, we can. That's less than 2 months away.
Well, we're allowed to. It's concrete. We're good to go on it.
Locked in.
Joe and I will be throwing the first pitch out at a Pickles game on June 2nd.
3rd.
June 3rd. it is the day after my birthday, and Joe and I will be out there on Pack 2 Remembrance Night.
Yes.
So if you're watching us on if you're watching us on YouTube right now, you'll see my Wazoo hat. I am an alum. Go Cougs. We'll be there for that. That's going to be a blast.
Yeah, I will not be wearing a Wazoo hat nor an Oregon State hat, but I will wear a Baltimore Orioles hat.
Ooh, I like that.
Because I will at least represent the orange and black for Adley Rutschman.
I'm thinking about working on, like, the old Gaylord Perry.
Oh, I'll go Hideo Nomo for your ass.
Ooh.
It's the long, elaborated, just
hang it up over the top. You don't want to Craig Kimbrell it and just hold the arm out for a minute.
I was going to say, should I go Luke Heimlich?
I hate that one.
I hate that one, too.
The stare. I don't know why. He's done it forever.
God.
It works.
I wish there would be, like, a giant camera. If there was a camera on my face as I was getting ready to throw it, I would do Andy Pettit. When Andy Pettit would hold the glove over his face, he kind of looked scary on TV. I loved Andy Pettit.
I can't remember his name, but there used to be this closer.
I just said it, Andy Pettit.
No, not Andy Pettit, for God's sakes. There was a closer for the Diamondbacks.
You're just trying to slip it in there.
And he, when he would, like, collect himself at the mound and go into his stance, he would snap his head and look at the catcher or the batter. Like, it was like he would just get into that Zen mode and then flip the switch. And it was even better because he was a big dude.
503-864-6326. What pitching windup should we use for this? You know, there's the old Johnny Cueto with the shimmy.
Oh, just stand,
you know,
on
you
one
could
leg.
Hold, look back and give a little shimmy and then throw.
So you throw off the batter's timing.
But Joe, we should probably practice together so our timing is right.
I'm going to throw an Ephus.
That would be great.
Just lob that thing 30 feet in the air and let it drop in
I'll throw a knuckle curve.
I just
after
hope
one of my favorite pitchers ever, the great Oriole legend, Mike Mussina.
Just spit on the ball, throw a spitball, be a cheater like Gaylord Perry.
I'm just hoping that I get the ball there.
Advantages.
At
all right.
Fill the
air.
You're
not cheating. You're not trying.
Joni Acro brought a friggin' emery board in his pocket.
Well, that
so you could do
cool.
That.
You could do the Negro thing and be like, what? As a file flies out of your, you know.
Well, and then even afterwards, admitting after the game, I do carry those, but it's to file my nails down. And it's like, dude, the ball's obviously scuffed.
You gotta have good cuticles, all right?
You could do the Harris from Major League. Where he's got, he's got the
he's got Vagisil,
got the Crisco, you know, and if I really need to put some stuff on it or rub a little bit of jalapeno in my nose.
Dude, it was
put snot on the ball.
Mike,
hey, I ain't got an arm like you, kid.
Okay, I got to put whatever I can on it.
So we now have a second favorite pitching coach, bullpen coach on the fan.
Yeah,
it is Arizona Diamondbacks bullpen coach Mike Fetters.
Fetters,
because this was the guy who, when he was on the mound for the Diamondbacks and other teams,
he would collect himself and then snap his head back at the batter. It was like an intimidation thing.
I remember
it
that
was
name.
As if like, okay, he's just collecting himself, and then he would just give them this stare and snap his head and damn near break his neck looking at
back, 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 back.
It just keeps going.
That's what happens with your neck. You're just like,
but he was
mine.
He was a big guy, so that's what made it even better. Is he was a husky fella out there on the mound.
Well, you know, I'm gonna have my hat a little cocked to the right
for CC
Sabathia.
Did he go to Wazoo?
No, he did not go to Wazoo. I wish he did. That would have been awesome. I'll have it a little cocked for my boy CC. As I always do. But yeah, I'm thinking about the old, like, swinging arms windup, you know? Like they used to do back in the day.
Yeah, like old. So we're talking like the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
Satchel Paige style. Like yeah. 3 or 4 times swinging around.
Yeah,
right?
Kind of just like, and then here's the pitch.
Oh,
nope. He's still swinging. How that wasn't a balk, I have no idea.
This makes me want to look up old-timey baseball names that we can't say on air.
We do have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. Well, not as much fun as we could because we can't say some of the names on air. Like old P. Tebow.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
the
I know
first
what you're talking about. Yeah.
Gosh,
yeah.
Darn it.
Yeah. Oakley doakley. Well, let's
dudes actually on the Cleveland Spiders with some very,
very controversial,
very
names.
Outdated nicknames yeah. on that one.
Well, let's actually get into what's going around Major League Baseball. We're first weeks in the books, or about a week and a half. I had a really fun fantasy week where I ended up losing in the top of the ninth of the last game on Monday.
Well, there's
thanks,
the season.
Josh Hader. And so it's been a fun week, but not without a lot of kind of serious questions that got to be asked. If you're a top pitcher in baseball, buyer beware. That's where we'd like to start. My elbow hurts, but first, Schultzy with sports. Coming up in the second hour, we'll get into relocation, update on the Oakland A's situation. Plus, we might get into a little bit of the Skip Schumacher thing that's going on, which is just really strange and kind of how the Marlins are
how
operating.
Marlins suck now?
Yeah. And how they're not really being nice to their own. And just when you think Jeffrey Loria is turning the page, bam, he's got you. He's got you.
Already screwed it up with Kim Ng. So.
Yep, exactly. So and that we're seeing the trickle-down effect. So we might get to that in the second hour. We might also get to that next week. Plus, is it time to panic? For a couple teams. So stick around for the second hour. We got a lot to get to. But I want to get into this first. We've already seen the injury bug bite, and it seems to be kind of biting hard. That is the dreaded Tommy John surgery.
I thought you were going to talk about Trevor Story.
No, but geez. Let's talk for a hot second. I've never been a big Trevor Story guy. He had one good year in Colorado, and I just always knew he couldn't stay healthy. But I saw that live when he dove for that ball and Devers runs up to him and is like, oh, no. I was like,
I shouldn't
laugh,
but like the reaction was just like right away. He was
right.
Like, oh,
he just reached
it.
For a ground ball in the hole and now he's dislocated his shoulder and he's out for 6 months.
How many games has he played in the last 3 seasons just because he plays hard? Like that sucks. That really sucks.
I'm looking it up right now.
Don't try so hard.
I mean, like.
Well, when you get a big contract, usually the natural instinct is to try to play hard there, Joe.
Big mistake on his part.
The dude.
You're supposed to not try hard after the contract.
Yeah, just relax on your laurels.
Since he's been in Boston.
A fractured glenoid.
So in Colorado, his rookie year, he had 97 games, then 145, 157, 145. In 2020, he played 59 games.
Well, that was only at a 60
that's
or
a,
62.
That's a full season, basically.
Yeah. He did. Oh, 2020 is a full season.
Yeah, it was.
He finished 11th in the MVP. Like, yeah. He played really well. In 2021, he played 142 games. Then he went to Boston, 94, 43, and 8.
Oh. And he signed a 7-year deal, if I'm not
something
mistaken.
Like
7
that.
Years, 100, 120, something like that.
I'm on Baseball Reference, so I'm sure I can find it, but it's like, oof, baby. That's brutal.
6 years, 140.
I never loved Trevor Story, but that is just not cool, man. That's brutal. But what I was getting into is I was getting into the old Tommy John, my elbow hurts. In a couple really wild stories, you know, if you tell me that Gerrit Cole has to have Tommy John, I'm not shocked about that. We've heard about his elbow issues. You've seen the videos of him at the grocery store pointing at things with his non-throwing arm. Something's not right in that elbow. We kind of know that.
Breaking down the grocery store Zapruder film, huh?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Reach for that bag of russet potatoes for me. Yeah. I'm not trying to throw this arm out.
Not with my throwing arm. So we kind of, you can kind of see that stuff coming again. Like with DeGrom last year was like, uh-oh. McClanahan in Tampa, you're kind of like, uh-oh. This year has been pretty wild. Shane Bieber, done for the year, having Tommy John. That came out of nowhere. His first two starts, he was great. Given he played the A's and the Mariners, which both suck. We might get to the second one later. He looked good. And then all of a sudden, it's like, nope, you're done. And he's a free agent at the end of the year. I kept saying last year and at the beginning of this year, whoever gets Bieber at the deadline is going to be a big move. I was really pulling Joe for your O's to get Shane Bieber at the deadline.
That'd be cool.
You got a stacked farm system.
Would have been cool.
Cleveland really loves prospects. They do their diligence. You'd have to pay for him, but you wouldn't have to pay too much. That I would love that. Corbin Burns, Shane Bieber, and then what, like a Grayson Rodriguez and a Taylor Wells? Like, that's a legit starting rotation going in. He's done. We also have maybe the best pitcher in the game in Spencer Strider. We don't know. I am not reporting that he is having Tommy John, but his elbow's got issues and he's got MRIs coming. He's not with the team. He's flying to California to get some looks at it. I also noticed today that Framber Valdez was scratched with some elbow tightness.
Put on the DL, or excuse me, the IL.
Yep,
as well.
And that guy has been a top five pitcher in baseball in the last few years. Is this just how it goes? Is this just the guys this year are Loaisiga and Bieber and maybe Strider and Valdez and Cole? Or is this something that alarms you?
I'm sorry, is this the first season in baseball history that we've had guys get elbow injuries?
The first
Tommy John's
ever.
That's ever happened?
Tommy John pitched last year, and they discovered this new surgery for his elbow.
Well, in the reports earlier this week, over the weekend of that, MLBPA now is trying to make this a pitch clock problem and saying that that is what has affected players when the minor leagues, the first year that they implemented it, they literally had a decrease in elbow injuries. I don't know. I just think it's like, hey, yeah, the season started and guys are now really throwing at their full velocity over 5, 6, 7 innings overextended, like not a good way. It's baseball, baby.
Yeah, I'm with you, Joe. I don't think it should shock you too much. Like, look at Spencer Strider over the last 2-3 years. Again, we don't know if he's having Tommy John, but he's having elbow issues. But Strider and Valdez, one right arm, one left arm, these guys over the last few years have been absolutely dominant. Dominant. Framber Valdez is such an exciting pitcher to watch. Gets a little hot-headed sometimes. Obviously, we hate the Astros, so you don't really want to root for them. But Framber Valdez is amazing. Spencer Strider, the power mustache, the top of the rotation. He hasn't had great playoff success, but he's young. Shane Bieber, Cy Young in 2020. Say what you want about that. Winning those MVPs and Cy Youngs in that COVID-shortened season is a little weird, but Bieber was amazing that season. When you're that good and you put in 2-3 years in a row of that much efficiency, I just think, Joe, I think you're right. I think it's a natural progression that your arm can only take so much.
Well, what were we saying a few years ago? It's like, well, might as well just get the Tommy Johns now versus dealing with problems down the road. Like, it almost seems like it was a, how do I put this, like, well, it should be something you, if you do have those elbow problems, you should look at maybe having that done. So that way it's something you don't. So is it a matter of just the way that pitching mechanics and the way that pitchers are nowadays, that this is becoming more of a an occurrence, elbow issues, and then it's just like, well, I might as well just get some Tommy Johns.
Look, Shohei's having a second.
I mean, you have Sandy Alcantara, obviously. He's going to miss this entire year. McClanahan, I mean, so
DeGrom, maybe in July or August.
Johnny, what is it, John Means in Baltimore?
Yep.
I mean, so I just think it's that, wouldn't you know it, here we are in 2024 with athletes that are absolutely amazing, can throw the ball faster than they ever have. I don't know if it is a pitch clock thing. I don't know if it's a baseball thing, not the game, like the baseball itself, how been, you know, that was a big thing where I don't know if it was Glasnow or Garrett Cole going on his soapbox a year or so ago saying that the way that the baseballs are now and how they have to be gripped and thrown is what's causing some of these elbow injuries.
The spider tack. Yeah. It was the sticky tack.
Thank
stuff.
You. That's what it was. Yes. Yeah. So
I think that's Garrett Cole.
So if it
Scherzer,
I mean,
as well, I believe.
Maybe it's a combination of all these things.
Yeah.
That is causing this to happen. Versus like, oh no, we just gotta blame pitch clock because it's new. It just got implemented.
Right. They hate it's pitch rushing, clock, so let's blame that.
And that's why I feel like the MLBPA are trying to use that as like some sort of leverage when it comes to the next negotiations. It's like, well, you aren't really looking out for us in the first place. You're trying to make the game more a TV product, and it's to the detriment of our players. Look what you've done.
And I think if you're a Strider or a Valdez or even a Shohei to an extent, it's not the end of the world if they have Tommy John right now. It's the Garrett Coles, the Jacob deGroms, maybe close to Bieber, the guys like Garrett Cole is getting paid a lot of money. And that's our old trusty. And he's not 24 like Spencer Strider. He's not 26 like Framber Valdez. He's 29, 30. And the Tommy John, when you're young, you're kind of like, we expect Shohei to play another 10 years. So if he has a second Tommy John now, we're like, okay, we can eat that. But what's Garrett Cole's shelf life right now? I don't know.
Are all these pitchers' shelf lives shorter because of like the recent pitch clock change? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, nobody was saying, "Oh, guys, you know what? Hey, with these limited amounts of times, we may have some more injuries." No owners, nor players, nor agents thought that was going to be a problem. I don't think that's what it is. I think it has to do more so with like, guys like Garrett Cole just start pitching harder when they're younger, right?
Yep.
It's like max effort, not from the age of 18, 19 on anymore. It's like 14, 15, 16 on. I don't know this for sure. I remember when we were kids, they really told us never throw a breaking ball until your arm is fully developed.
Right.
And now we're seeing by the time these kids are 20, the spin rates, the increase in velocity. I mean, in the 80s, an average fastball was like, what, 88 miles an hour?
Something
now
like
it's 94. Mm. I mean, guys are throwing 100 at teenage levels. And if they're having not Tommy John surgery necessarily, but arm problems at those ages, you're obviously going to compound that. And then now, with the lack of minor league players, literally, we've taken half the teams out of this mix, so you've got less arms to work with, and I just feel like that's more opportunity for guys that have been pitching a lot longer and harder to get injured more.
So kind of on that point, the MLB, who's kind of looking into things, doing some research, and I don't know if I think this was MLB or Johns Hopkins, but only six players between 2011 and 2013 that were going into the draft had already had UCL reconstruction surgery before they were drafted. 24 players from 2021 to 2023. So, I mean, math, that's what, four times the amount of players in a same 2 to 3 year gap that are going into the league that have had UCL or elbow reconstruction surgery in some instance.
Yeah.
So I think that's bad. I mean, I see it on Instagram sometimes with some of these kids that are posting their highlight videos of them at the pitching clinics or the pitching facilities
camps
where they're training.
Or whatever they're at.
They're throwing absolute gas and they're 16, 17, 18. And it's just like, oh my God.
Can't be good for you.
I can't imagine. And it's like, were they doing that 20, 30, 40 years ago where these kids are able to just throw absolute heat at that age and they're trying to?
Yeah.
And even when they're not playing actual baseball, they're in the cage working on seeing how fast it's like, can't imagine that helps.
And now you
lot.
Want to, it's like Steph Curry, how far away can I shoot this three?
Yeah.
but this is more damage on your elbow. All right, well, we'll keep some tabs on this. It'll be interesting to see what comes from Spencer Strider. I imagine we'll learn some more information in the next couple days. Framber Valdez might be another week or so. Gerrit Cole, who knows? I know he started throwing a little bit, just some soft toss stuff, so we'll see how that goes. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll see. Is it really a pandemic, or is it just kind of how the cookie crumbles when it comes to pitchers in Major League Baseball? When we come back, is this team bad, or are we still in overreaction baseball? That's next. Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan. Can you broker a deal when you know you're getting screwed to potentially be helped in the future? We'll get to that at the beginning of the 8 o'clock hour, plus fair or foul at the bottom, as we always do. Shout out Bruce Hornsby.
And let me fire this off, because I don't know what it is.
He's already on top of him when he's going down. And he would lift it, and the tip would always touch. And it would make things go off.
Well, this is a good one.
But I didn't need seeds blowing my mouth away.
Yeah, one of the best things about Mike, when he would talk on this show, is being a producer, he always knew that anything you said could come back and haunt you again. And you would catch Mike in moments where he was going to say something that would be a future drop. And you can almost always guarantee that there was like a slight hesitation in his voice, like, uh-oh.
And then he
I've gone too far. And then he just sent it.
Case in point, this one.
I'm going to go ahead and not even be coy about it. I'm going to poke Patrick Harris.
You see the pause right there?
Right at the beginning.
I'm going to go ahead and
pause.
Not even be coy about it. I'm going to poke Patrick Harris.
Mike was really, really, really great at that. And I love you, buddy. I love you, buddy. Your Yankees don't look terrible. Congratulations.
Non si può stopparlo.
He hit a granny the other day, shockingly.
Now, what did I do wrong?
Ow! Ah!
Ow! That needs to be on the chop board. Where is that?
Guys, I got to ask a question. I don't want to get too over it. I don't know if Schultze has any of this.
I think I know the question you're going to ask. And before you even ask it, yes, they suck.
Yeah, in our fair or foul. Guys, do we need to come into Jesus moment? Are the Mariners bad?
My dad was just texting me. They are the new Oakland A's.
Are the Mariners not good?
They ain't moving to Sacramento, so I think you got that going for
you. I got Luis Castillo on milk cartons right now.
Yeah.
Have you seen this man?
Kirby got absolutely shelled a couple nights ago.
I mean, this team has been leaning on.
Oh, yeah. He was on the mound today. And
I look, and I'm like,
all right, it's 0-0 in the third.
Not as bad as the last time.
And then I look, and I'm like, oh, wait, now it's 5-0.
No, this team's been leaning on the pitching for God
knows how long. If Cleveland can show you can hit in Seattle, anyone can hit in Seattle.
Well, and that's where I think, and that's why when you were texting to me today, like, what do we talk about? And I was like, dude, the Mariners suck, because the hitting was something that they ran into early in the season last year.
We knew the Mariners were going to struggle with that this year.
And the bats, they aren't going, just like at the beginning of last year. But it was kind of, we saw what happened. They started clicking, and they had their pitching to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
The starting pitching has been worrisome, to say the least.
Do I argue that Bryce Miller is the best pitcher on the staff right now?
So far.
Yeah.
Gilbert's been better than Kirby and Castillo, but like paging George Kirby.
No, that's probably
like,
a true
statement. You're my Cy Young pick. Luis Castillo, you got a bag. Like Castillo, I think it's too early. So I'm not somebody.
Well, it's definitely
early. And I'd love to check in next week, you know, on the Pirates and see if the Pirates are still playing well.
They won't be.
And kind of, you know, just check in on, you know, are we overreacting, stuff like that. Kirby could have, you know, he had a bad start. Okay, that happens. Whatever. Today, second time through the lineup, Toronto's got a good lineup. Okay, you missed it. I don't know if I'm ready to, like, bail on George Kirby. Castillo is worrisome for me. Castillo is really worrisome for me.
It's been ugly.
That's three starts, and once you get to the third, it's off the rails.
And it's not just, like, well, maybe they're just a little tired to start the year, a little overused from spring training. No, it's not that at all. They're just missing spots. It's like they can't execute, and I don't know if that's because of them just trying to nibble too much or if it's because they've been depending like on offense to help them out at all for the last year and a half. It's barely come, so they know that they're the guys that have to do everything for this team. I mean, could it be just to the point where George Kirby was on the roster all or almost all of last year, and it felt basically to him every game to get it done?
Yep.
Same with Luis Castillo since he was acquired, and same with Logan Gilbert since he was brought up. You can only ask these guys to keep it on their shoulders for so long. See Felix Hernandez.
Right. Yeah, and it's going to cost Scott Service his job. I mean, I would be shocked if Service survives this year, and it's not his fault. And maybe DePoto knows that. Maybe they won't get rid of him because they know it's not. But you're going to have to do something. Something ain't working.
I mean, 6.91 ERA for Kirby, 6.89 for Castillo. Those are your only two starters with three starts so far. Gilbert, 3.55. Emerson Hancock, 11.42. Woof.
I'll leave the kid alone. I'll leave Hancock
and then,
alone.
And then three for Bryce Miller.
You mentioned Bryce Miller's look good.
Bryce has looked great, Bryce but you mentioned great. It's going to cost Service his job. What about Jerry DePoto? Because Teoscar Hernandez is hitting bombs for the LA Dodgers. And then, oh, look at Jared Kelnick hitting five freaking hundred for the Braves so far. I get it. It's a couple of weeks into the season, but the guys that you moved on from, Jerry, it ain't looking good, bro.
Let's not forget you could have. I can't. I just.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
That's this whole segment for Mariner fans.
Getting higgy with it.
Yeah, I think we're a little early. I think we're a little early in the pitching woes. I think Castillo, Kirby, and Gilbert are too talented to let this get too far away from them. It's the hitting. It's the hitting. Julio looks bad. Okay, slider away, slider away, slider away, slider away. Count is now 2-2. Change up inside, swing and miss.
And he's just letting pitches go by in the zone. He struck out twice looking at pitches right down the middle this year.
He's trying too hard, and everybody's trying too hard. You know, we knew J.P. Crawford wasn't going to redo what he did last year, but we needed something. Haniger looks solid. Haniger looks like a nice piece there. But Polanco's kind of been a little disappointing, especially in the field.
Kudos to Ty France. He's remade his swing. I think he's hitting like 330 so far, but him, Rojas, and Haniger can't do it by themselves.
No.
Do you want to know who has given up the most runs in the American League?
I'm going to go with the Seattle Mariners.
Well, you'd be right, my friend. This is Seattle Mariners segment. And yes, they have given up the most runs, according to ESPN.com.
And the bullpen doesn't look great either.
It's rough.
So you have playoff aspirations, a sniff of maybe an ALCS, maybe. And bro, you look like you're in a dogfight with the Angels.
We're literally
the A's.
We're literally 7.4% through the MLB season, but not the best 7.4% sample size.
Guys, I'm telling you, they've been on a bullpen house of cards, essentially. It's looked like genius, pure genius to the rest of baseball, how they're just able to pluck guys like Gabe Spire, Taylor Saucedo, Penn Murphy last year out of like the minor leagues, and then they'll come throw a 2.5 ERA and get you games done. But you can't keep replicating that success.
And I'm not touching Munoz in a fantasy league. All right, coming up, we got a loaded second hour. Let's get into relocation, Sacktown, what up? And also some other news and notes, plus fair or foul at the bottom of the hour. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. It's the Hot Corner. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris, 10 of the Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.